Hey everybody, John Malanka with United Patients Group. Be informed and be well. And today I have a special guest, Joelle Gordon. How are you doing?
Hey John, I'm great. Hi everyone.
Hey, everyone is right. So I have Joelle on here today because she works in a dispensary, and many of you reached out to me on a regular basis. I'm afraid to go in dispensary. What questions do I ask you in dispensary? What do I look for? What do I avoid? Et cetera. And so basically ask the bud tender. And are you okay with the term bud tender?
Yeah, that works fine for me. I think that it kind of is all encompassing of what
Good.
We do.
So let's go first off is what is a dispensary? And that people question, is it what's a dispensary and can anyone enter them?
A dispensary can be set up one or two, or I guess three ways. You could have a medical dispensary, you can have a recreational dispensary or an adult use dispensary, or you can have one that is a combination where you would be able to purchase both medical on one side and adult use on another side. But they're typically separate entities so that people can be serviced separately.
So, but they're legal in, so cannabis first off is legal at the state levels. And so not all states have walk-in dispensaries that carry all forms of products, meaning THC. There are a lot of states that have CBD only laws that carry CBD only products with a 0.3% THC level and below. And so you're located in the state of New Jersey. You work for, and I won't name the name of your dispensary, but you work for a very well-known dispensary that is in more than one state, I should say, correct?
Yes. And it looks like as of January of this year, there were 39 out of 50 states where had legalized medical. And then we have 21 of them have recreational use of marijuana. So there's quite a diversity there.
And 21 also for recreational, but also I know you said 21 states, but it's also 21 and over. And so that term, it's funny how all states are different. California, they use the word adult use, where other states 21 and over. And so is there, that was one of my questions down the road, but let's go right in because you brought it in here. Is there a difference? This comes up quite a bit. Is there a difference, John? I want the medical portion versus the recreational. Two different definitions. One, a lot of patients think CBD is medical where THC is recreational. The question I'm looking at right now, asking right now is there a difference in quality in the medical side, having a legal medical recommendation versus going to the recreational side, which is adult use 21 and over walking in there? Is there a difference in quality of the different types of medicine?
There is a difference in quality and what there's availability. In our state particular, and I can talk to our state and somewhat, I've visited some other states, but more for what New Jersey offers, but the state regulates what we're able to offer and how we're able to offer it. So I know we'll probably talk more about how people can take cannabis, but you know, whether or not it took a while for them to be able to offer recreational edibles or something like that. So what the state allows you to offer, and then there's also a difference in the product. And so as the state also regulates that we keep a higher percentage or percentages of THCs or terpenes that are a little bit different for our medical patients because the need is there for them to utilize it in a medical purpose, right? So there tends to be a little bit more availability maybe in what I see for the medical patients just because they need it a little bit more for what their needs are for it.
And, you know, Massachusetts has done that as well, where they have an allotment of different products for the medical patients. And they saw during COVID a lack of product in the recreational side because they were keeping the stock for the medical patients. So the recreational patients were saying, hey, we're patients as well. You know, just because we don't have the medical recommendation, we should still have access to it. And so hopefully that the laws will change. And as you're mentioning, the majority of states right now have legalized medical cannabis in some form or another. And so, you know, many of my followers and as well as you know how we got into this industry. And it was my father-in-law. If we did not live in a legal state of California, the topic of cannabis would never have come up. And so with having legal access to that, it saved this man's life, and he extended his life from 2 weeks to 10 and a half, 11 years. And so, you know, I've seen this plant work, and I've seen this plant, in my opinion, not work, you know, saving lives. You know, we came out of the gate hitting a grand slam, but enough about, let's go back to you and in working in a dispensary. What brought you into dispensary?
I love plant medicine. I think it's such a great part of understanding what, well, the earth has to offer. A lot of the medicines that we take already are plant derived. And so to utilize cannabis in that way too made such sense. And when it became something that was becoming legalized in the state of New Jersey, it was kind of a fun chance to hop into that and really kind of pursue a little bit differently. I'm a life coach also. So being able to educate people a little bit differently on how cannabis works and to be able to utilize it on a medical level also made a lot of sense for me.
So with that, I know you do work with a lot of cancer patients as well. What is the purpose and responsibility of a bud tender? Because you have a stigma with that term bud tender, and a lot of patients come back and say, you know, I went in there and they really knew nothing about my background. You know, am I a diabetic? Am I sensitive to certain cannabinoids? Do I have heart murmurs? Do I have a heart medicine, blood thinners? And so what is the purpose and responsibility of a bud tender? If you could share, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes into anything that we do as a human being, is it's our responsibility to be responsible for our body and knowing what we're taking and how that's going to interact with other things, so that we can interact with our doctors, so that our doctors can be holding the big picture in hand. As a bud tender, a lot of times, as I think you've experienced too, a lot of times you're in the flow of what's happening. And so I don't always have the time to be like, do you have a heart murmur or do you have a pacemaker that we could have a conversation about? Because that's really crossing some lines too, and what's appropriate to talk about at, you know, at a counter in front of a lot of other people. So really asking the questions and being educated, just like you do with your doctor when you go and say like, okay, so this is what I'm struggling with. And I also feel that sometimes this, you know, it makes me feel a little bit like it upsets my stomach. You're doing that with edibles. Maybe it's suggesting something else that might work a little bit different so that you're not feeling that upset stomach. So I think it's just like anyone else, any other place that you go that you talk about your health, it's kind of being educated and having that conversation and sharing the things that you're really feeling, you know, are your concerns.
You mentioned doctor with that. And what I've recommended, and maybe you've seen this come into your dispensary with your patients, is when a doctor meets with the patient. So when we were all 20, we did something like, oop, won't do that again, you know, talking about if it's anyway, but when you're working with patients of all ages, and now you're seeing, what is your population coming in there? Are that all ages? Are you seeing more geriatrics?
It is amazing to see the demographic of people. I mean, the dispenser I work in does have medical and recreation, and we see all ages ranging, of course, at 21 up. I mean, it's very wide and
starting to get accepted, and I'm seeing that stigma go down. And so when a patient does call us, and I back to the portion of, you know, we're not all 20 and try something, oh, won't do that again, you know, note to self. I do recommend patients to go speak with a medical professional so they can come up with a protocol, especially a doctor who truly knows about the endocannabinoid system, ratios, dosing, et cetera. And then they come in there with a kind of a shopping list of what the doctor or medical professionals recommended. Do you see any of those type of patients that come in there?
We do see patients like that that come in with medical patients. They can set up some time to have a consultation too, which is helpful too, to be able to get a little bit of a different hands-on touch point to the products that we actually have in-house. But yeah, so we do have people who have the recommendations of their you know, their doctors. And I know personally from speaking with my doctor, that's been really helpful for me for my health, is having that conversation with my doctor about, you know, for say my sleep and how I can add little things in or little things out. And even as a bud tender, it's different to hear it suggested from a doctor than, you know, coming from my own thought process, right?
It's nice to hear. Do you have medical staff there? Because I know
we have people who are trained in it. There are some tenders who tend, you know, some bud tenders who tend to be the people who do the consultations that are a little bit more educated.
I'm enjoying hearing that, because California, you know, has been legal medically since 1996 and then it became recreational. But seeing what a lot, it's funny, I forgot about this till now. Years ago, I would say about 2012 or 13, I had a call from a doctor from the Department of Health of New Jersey, of actually state of New Jersey. And he said, I've been put on this, he goes, I'm kind of the black sheep in our organization. So they put me on this research and conquer type of thing. They want to know what California has done incorrectly, and we want to make sure we're not going to make those same mistakes in New Jersey. And so I shared a bunch of things, and about a year later he called me again and he said, "You remember me?" I said, "Of course I remember." He goes, "Now they, with Colorado being recreational legal, they want me to see what Colorado is doing correctly as well as incorrectly, and so we don't make those same mistakes." And I'm seeing in New Jersey, as well as Massachusetts, Connecticut, that they're starting to incorporate pharmacists, doctors, nurses on staff. So you can have that, if they have that one patient that say, "Hey, Joel, what about this? Actually, you know what? Why don't you talk to Dr. Jones or Nurse Heather or something like that?" And so I do like the idea that the stigma is starting to come down. It's becoming more as medicine. I know a lot of people don't like to call it medicine. I do like to call it medicine. At first, when I entered this industry, people were like, "How can you consider this medicine?" And as seeing what I've seen and probably what you've seen, you know, it is medicine for others as well. And so thank you for what you do. There's so many different, I'll say like wine, because we're out here in California, my brother's in the wine industry. You know, there's so many different varieties of cannabis as well, and where to start. In your dispensary, do you recommend, do you go through and say, "This is what indicas do, this is what sativas do, this is what hybrids do, what are you looking for?" And so can you give me like a little walkthrough of what you can share in your dispensary, as well as others listening, that they can go into their dispensary and say, "Hey, this is what I, can you give me a walkthrough?"
Yeah, I mean, typically I ask people, what are you looking for? Like, how do you want to feel? Because that typically they're not maybe sure what they're looking for. Are they looking for the indica? They're like, "I don't remember the name." So it's, how do you want to feel? Like, are you looking to, you know, be a little uppity? Then I would probably go with a sativa, because that's going to be uplifting. Your hybrids are going to kind of be that in between ground. So they can lean either to a sativa or an indica, but they kind of tend to be more of an in between ground, where your indicas tend to be sleepy. Yeah. And make you feel kind of relaxed and kind of super chill.
I was always told indica in the couch.
Yeah.
Relax, sativa more upbeat, and hybrid. So for a brand new client that comes in there, do you kind of like direct them towards the safety level of something in between? Or do you still say less is more?
Definitely
slow and go type of thing, you know.
Slow and low, and really starting just with the bare minimum, like, you know, depending on what your intake is, because there's a lot of different ways that you can use cannabis. You could smoke it, right, and use the flower itself. You could use a tincture that you're going to put underneath your tongue, and that's going to hit kind of pretty quick, the tincture. Of course, if you smoke it, it's going to hit pretty quick and it's going to go away in about 45 minutes. And then you'll kind of have like that mellow feeling. If you put it under the tongue, it's going to hit really quick, but it's going to go away a little bit quicker too, sublingually. And the vaping would be the same as smoking the flower, kind of like that faster. You could take it internally and do the edibles. And edibles kind of vary based on the chemical profile of them. Some edibles can be fast acting and they could act anywhere up to 15 minutes to a half an hour, depending on the body. Or you could have an edible that's going to take, be like your normal original kind of edible that's going to have like that hour onset. And then you could play with them in between and have both.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I those are the ones where I do recommend, you know, once you get an idea what your sweet spot, what your safety zone is, you know, there are edibles that, you know, I'm happy with 2.5 milligrams to 5 milligrams. There are other people, I mean, there's some edibles that are 1,000 milligrams. And I think, you know, do you have that? I know that some states don't allow that and some states do. And I think that's just a little too much, you know, for, you know, I think just it's a public service announcement is more is not better. Cannabis, especially in edibles, is not like alcohol where you can drink it. And if you get a little too much intoxicated, you can throw it up and go, "Ooh, I won't do that." And it's out of your system, where cannabis will stay in your system, even if you do become ill. And so I want part of this, Joelle, is I want first time dispensary users to be able to go in there with confidence and not be afraid. I mean, even the very first time I walked into dispensary, I'm thinking, holy moly, what am I doing in here? It's been illegal my whole life. And now I'm in here and I don't even know where to start. And imagine if you were a senior citizen, because I used to do, you know, we're not a dispensary, but I used to do tours in dispensaries with senior citizens. Let's take you in. I'll show you what. And so having that handholding for a first time patient really goes a long way. They're able to go in there and understand, learn, shop, and use with confidence, especially if, you know, a well-versed bud tender is, or a medical professional is involved as well. And so can you give us a walkthrough of what you recommend that you do in your dispensary and you can share with patients as well as other dispensary members that are listening and watching this as well?
So what I think I hear you saying is like, talk about intake, or like what I would say in that regard is start slow and low. Like there's no point in taking too much. Like you just said, it's not really helpful. If you take too much, you're going to go to sleep. It's going to make you feel real groggy. You'll wake up the next day and you'll feel kind of icky. I do think it is nice to know that if you've taken too much, that a CBD is going to help kind of balance you out a little bit, which is really super helpful to know.
Can you touch on that one? Because that is almost like a snake venom, you know, too much THC. You're sitting there, what do I do? What do I do? And if someone said, here, try this, you're like, are you out of your mind? But
so kind of think about it. Like,
thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a Pac-Man. And so there's like the mouth of the Pac-Man. And if the THC is like sitting in there, but if you take a little CBD, it's going to slide into that receptor and it's going to almost slide that THC out. Right. And so it's going to fill that hole and kind of balance you out a little bit. It is also important to know that you also want to space your CBD out with medicines too, because of the same effect. It kind of enhances or can elongate some of your medicines. And so, you know, like we were talking about earlier, is really knowing what you're taking and talking to your doctors about it so that you know that everything's balancing out and that you're educated in what we're putting into our bodies, right? Starting slow. If you find that you have like one of those amazing edibles that you mentioned, that's like this huge chunk, that's 1,000 pieces, maybe taking a small little piece of it, but having other cookies at hand so that you're not like, oh, that was so good, I want more, right? Like give yourself that other substitute so that you're not going back to that, because you just need a little bit.
Can we touch up on that? Because I always hear the stories of someone eating something, not feeling anything. Oh, they're delicious. They're tiny. Yeah. How could this be terrible? And now they have 2 or 3 doses in their system and they all come on at the same time. And now they're calling, and this happens a lot with the senior communities I work with, is that they're now calling 911 saying, I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah,
and all it is cannabis. And so for our listeners, ride it out. It is not a death sentence. I know it can be scary. Also, when you're having edibles, as well as tinctures as well, is depending on what time of day, as well as how much food you have in your system as well, can show how quickly that the onset comes on. So I just wanted to throw that in. I know you're going to share a personal story about that. Sorry.
Well, I think it's also important too. Like if you're going to take an edible, try to do it on a day that you don't have something going on. Try to do it maybe a little bit later in the day so that you know that you don't have to do anything. You don't have to drive a car because that's not a good idea, right? Or you don't have to be responsible for something. I think it's really important to know, like, I think like you're saying, John, it's like starting with that little piece and I'm a firm believer, like cut it down into a fourth, cut it down into a third. In the state that I live in, our portions are in 10 milligrams. And so that's where is like the good starting point. I mean, people can cut that down to a fourth or even less than that. I have friends who've cut it down in use for pain. It was just something that they used to help with their pain. They cut down to smaller pieces. It was something that they were using as medicine. And so it wasn't something that was getting them all crazy. It was just this little slither that helped kind of cut the pain in the body and help relieve what they had going on. And so if you really know how to use it as a medicine, it can really work for us. It's just kind of remembering that it can be overwhelming, right? And so taking a small bit and maybe starting one day and then going up the next day and trying a little bit more. If you're really trying things out, maybe having a notebook so that you can.
I was just going to say journaling as you were talking about seeing how this worked this day and going there. So that's one thing I always talk about is journaling and communicating, sharing with your family members if they're open to it, sharing with your friends, you know, what you're doing and definitely trying it on an off day where you don't have to be anywhere. You don't have to drive anywhere. Weekends is what I do share with a lot of patients as well. Dispensaries coming in there, first time buyer, if you want to say, how much should I buy? What do you recommend to people? You know, on how do they start? Do they come in there and buy one item? Do they buy $200 worth of product? I mean, can you share? And I know everyone's different, but can you share like an experience you've had with a patient? You don't need to mention names.
I think going in and knowing how you want to take the product is going to be helpful. That way you're kind of not feeling overwhelmed when you get there. And then just buying a little bit, right? Because if you don't like a product, then you have a lot of a product left. So say you've bought an edible, right? And the edible's all onset in an hour and you buy all three kinds because you bought the hybrids, the indicas and the sativas, and you find that the edibles really give you an upset stomach, right? Because it just doesn't agree with you or something like that, or you don't like the hour onset or something like that. Now you've got three bags of something. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, trying the things out, start slow and low, and then work up to the things that you know you like so that you're making smart purchases and you're not kind of going out too much. You know, I don't know. I like coming out of the gate slow and then knowing what you're doing because it is a medicine if you use it the right way. And that's the important thing too, is knowing that it's a medicine when it's used right. And a lot of people kind of lose track of that sometimes.
They do. With that idea of buying too much, can they return anything?
Cannabis is not returnable, at least not in our state. What I find is that if you have a problem with a product and it's like defaulty, you could bring it back to the dispensary. A lot of times you'll want to talk to the person at the front door. And that person is usually your ID checker or someone who's making sure that everyone is appropriate to get in the building. You'll want to maybe mention it to that person so that they can appropriately handle you and help you figure out what needs to happen. I say that because in the state of New Jersey, you're not allowed to bring cannabis back into the location.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, entering your dispensary, and I'm bouncing around here. I'm picturing, you know, walking into dispensaries, not only here in California, but throughout the United States. A medical, you and I were just down in Florida. I did not attempt to go into a dispensary, but I believe that you had to have a legal recommendation for the state of Florida. Well, two things. One, in the state of New Jersey, as a California patient, am I able to go into your dispensaries and legally purchase, obtain medical cannabis?
No, you cannot. There are some states that have reciprocate that you can do that in, right? But that is not New Jersey. Okay. There, I think I did look it up earlier today. 17 of those states that are of the 21 states do not allow people to purchase. Okay. You know, you're if you were traveling, you don't really want to cross state lines with cannabis. But if you were traveling, there are some, like, you could have it in the state if you have a medical card. So there are some different things that can happen in that state if you're traveling into another state. But New Jersey is not a state that allows that. When you, and I want to jump back to that in another minute, but I do want to answer the question about entering the dispensary, because I know that this is something that we talked about earlier that was kind of important. Is so when people come to the dispensary to enter, we do make sure that they always have their ID. They have to be 21 years of age, and they have to have a valid ID. It has to be valid. It can't be expired. We actually use a card checker at my location, and it will tell me, because I do card check quite often, whether or not it's a valid ID. You can bring your passport with you.
Okay.
So that will work also. If you have your medical card in our state, you know, you just kind of show your medical card, and at that point you don't have to show your New Jersey passport or your state ID, because you've already, you know, it's a state ID as it is. So we do not let anyone in unless they're 21.
Yeah.
There are a couple hours during when we're open just for medical patients, and we won't let in any recreational patients or adult use patients at that time period either, that it's strictly medical hours. So it's the state pretty much regulates pretty firmly the hours that we're able to allow people into our building.
How easy is it to get a cannabis recommendation in the state of New Jersey? You know, some states are very, very strict. You have to have a waiting period. And the reason I ask that, you know, California, when it was medically legal, there was no rating. There was no downtime. There's no waiting period. Even out-of-state patients could come in here, go to the DMV, get a California ID, and then go to a cannabis doctor and then be able to obtain it. How they brought their medicine back home was up to them, but it happened. It happens. Other states will have a 2-week waiting period, which I think really does a disservice, because if we waited 2 weeks to become a legal patient in my father-in-law's case, he would have not lasted. And so is there a waiting period to, you know,
I don't think that there's per se a waiting period, but it does take a while for the state of New Jersey to mail out the card.
Okay.
And without the card, you can't go in and purchase medically. I mean, however, since we are able to work with people both medically and recreationally, we're able to usually help people fine tune what they need with what we have recreationally to offer to be able to help people in our location. But yeah, it does take a little bit of time for the state to actually send the card, and we do need the card to be able to do that.
Is there a difference in price between medical versus recreational cannabis?
There is a difference in price between the two. There is a little bit variance. The medical seems to be a little bit lower. And then there's also taxation differences. In the state of New Jersey, right now we just pay the municipality taxes. And so the state has taken away the state taxes on the medical side.
Which is a big difference, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Big difference. I mean, the first time we went into a dispensary in Colorado, I walked out of there. I'm like, no, I think you overcharged me. And they said, no, that's our tax. And I said, wow. And so cannabis not being covered by insurance can actually put a big burden on patients on their pocketbook. And, you know, it's tough. It has
to do with the federal regulations on cannabis. And that's where you'll also see, you know, jumping back and forth. That's also where you see with payment. You cannot pay for cannabis with a credit card. You have to pay for it with cash or a debit card. Some locations can offer like an ATM transaction so that you can utilize your debit card for that transaction. But a lot of times, you know, you can't use your credit card because it's not federally regulated at this point in the game. which is important to know too. There are some apps, like there's like CanPay that you could use, that's like a in between your bank and the dispensaries, but you'd have to be sure that that's, you know, something that's accessible for your location.
So bring money. Do you have an ATM? I know a lot, many have ATMs in their locations.
Ours are all of our credit have like little ATM transaction things at each register. So that is something that, you know, is pretty easy to cut through.
Gotcha. Yeah. Generally, I was going to ask about safety. You were going to say something about entering dispensary, and you said, I'll get back to that. If not, no worries. But safety. I share with patients all the time, and as regulations are becoming to become stricter to really protect the patient, testing is very important. It's not the responsibility of the patient to test the products. It's the responsibility of the dispensaries who purchase the products from the different companies, the product companies. Can you touch up on that and what should patients look for? And with an expiration date or a packing date, I'll say, July 1st. Do you think something that was January 1st or July 1st of previous year is still fresh, or do you tell people to look for product that has been around for 3 months, 6 months, 2 weeks? What is your fresh date on that?
I mean, I think it's always better to have it a little bit fresher than, you know, something that's not. I think a lot of times when you get your product, though, you might not always have that information right there in front of you until you're at your bud tender. So it might be like an awkward, like, I don't want that anymore. I want, like, you know, so, you know, being able to have, I guess, touching base and feeling whether that is something that you want to be a hold on or not, right, on the products. It is really important for third-party testing, and I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and if you could talk about that, please.
Yeah, all the cannabis should be third-party tested. That's really important because it just makes sure that there's nothing bad in there. There's no metals, there's no chemicals in there that we're looking to get rid of, any pesticides. And so as they grow products, of course, that stuff can enter into a flower. It is a plant. And so just making sure that as they process and move everything through, that they've checked the product through and make sure that it's good for our health. We're going to consume it.
Yeah. And again, a lot of patients are immune compromised. So you do have to look, make sure there are, as you mentioned, no metals, pesticides, fecal matter. It's amazing how when you see that, but molds and even insects. You know, back in the day, California, there were zero regulation, and you would go into a dispensary and you could smell the product and you would smell mold, or you'd look in there and you would see insects. And that's kind of scary. And I'm liking the way what the East Coast dispensaries have really perfected over California, over California on safety. I've been out some places out there and they are so strict that, nothing's going to get by, and you guys do not want to jeopardize your license and working for a brand that you do work for, who does cover a lot of bases and works with a lot of patients. They have to really make sure that everything is safety first there. But
it's nice too that things are seed to seal. So that means that they started with the seed and they track that product all the way till it's presented to you. And so really, on the products, when we sell something, if there were 100 of them in a box, I need to know where they track to make sure that they know where each one of those hundreds went, that 100 went to. So everything is tracked per product, which is really amazing to think about that on a large scale in regards to plants and, you know, how it's all being pushed out. But yeah, it's all seed to seal. So they know where it is and, you know, where it's been.
Know where it is and where it's been. And that's the part that I was getting at, which we didn't do for the longest time. You know, now you kind of have an idea, QR codes, where that product was grown. If you have a bad reaction, they're able to do that. You know, my family's in the produce business. And so the same type of thing where they, you know, send out cantaloupes and honeydews all around the United States. And if someone becomes ill, they can stop everything, go right on the box, show where that QR code was, where it was in the field, when it was picked, and the other boxes of where they went as well. And I know cannabis is starting to follow that lead as well, because it is a medicine and people do treat it as a medicine, and as it is big business. And again, you want to make sure that you're following all standards and staying on top with what you're doing in your industry. Can you share, and I love these stories, can you share a fun story that pops in your mind, a success story, someone that you really changed their life of, because you do a lot for patients. And I want, there's so many people in this industry at all different levels helping patients. And I want to say the majority, I'd like to say all of them have the mindset of helping others. But can you share a fun story that really stood out of a patient that you worked with and changed their life?
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back to kind of even what we were talking about earlier is the communication part. I was working with someone not long ago who was taking edibles and vaping, and it's a cancer patient who was working with some pain. And when they went to the bud tender the first time, they ended up with some vapes and some edibles. They were hybrids and sativas. And I was talking to the patient and to their significant other, and I'm like, wait, what do you have going on? That you're taking what? And so really, like, just having that conversation and working with them and having a better understanding of what their needs were, we switched them over to an indica gummy because of the pain. And so that really made a big difference for them. And they were able to alleviate that pain a little bit differently. And so really, I think the idea of hearing people, right? And again, questioning too, what you're taking, like we were talking about earlier, like that first purchase maybe wasn't the perfect purchase. And originally their friend was like, well, we just went to the dispensary and spent all this money, and now what are we going to do? And it was like, well, you're going to need to try the indica gummies. Just go get one bag and know that this could be it. Like, and then to get them to hear back and know that that was kind of the solution, right? So kind of playing with things and understanding that we really, our bodies are so individual, and that we really can find the solutions if we look at it and, like you said, journal and take notes and really pay attention to our body. So really that win of like figuring out what their body really needed and how to make it a win for them so that they weren't dealing with that daily pain.
You sharing with going back to the dispensary with a bag and coming back brought me back to a gentleman that was a senior citizen here in California. And I remember he came back and he was frustrated because he came back and he had about 8 or 9 different products. And I said, what do you want to do? He goes, I'm having issues with sleep, anxiety, depression. And they sold him a product for each and everything. And I said,
just 8 products sounds like a lot to go through individually, one at a time.
That I always share is like, speak with someone. You shouldn't oversell a patient, one, and take advantage of a patient. But two, a lot of times, if it's sleep, anxiety, depression, work on the one, the sleep, because it could be a domino effect of, oh my gosh, my anxiety's not there. I mean, we've all had that missed night of sleep or something like that. And next day you wake up and you're like, okay, I'm not awake. I don't have my energy. I better have some drinks, some coffee. Now my anxiety is going through because I'm over caffeinated on top of everything as well. And so, as you were saying, Joelle, is less is more. Go low and slow, see what works, journal, see what works best for you, and go from there. And working with patients, working with the public, what is the hardest thing about your job? Or about hardest thing about being a bud tender?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's that idea of like coming in and being like, I just need the highest THC product there is. And it's so frustrating because that product it's hard to work with that client because you want to know what they really want it for. Like you were just saying, like, is it that you don't sleep? Is it that you have anxiety? Or how are you? Because there are other things that you could work with that, like looking at the terpenes or like just playing with the cannabis a little bit differently than just being like, I just want to get the highest THC there is so I can get super high. And that's frustrating because I want people to use it so that it helps them, right? And gets them to the place of what they really need it for. And if you're coming in and that's what you're coming for, then you probably are needing it for something else. You're just not really checking into that part of you to be like, oh yeah, I really am kind of super stressed right now. And that's what I'm using it for, you know? So I think that it's like taking that second back and really checking into the people and using it as the sacred plant that it is.
It, you mentioned, you've mentioned terpenes a couple of times. And so I don't want to, you know, scoot over that. I'm a fan of terpenes. So can you share with the audience what terpenes are and how many of them have, how they all have benefits? I mean, even the cannabinoids, there's so many different cannabinoids. I say about there's 140, some people say 160, others say 113. So I'll go in the middle there, but they all play a role bringing the body back to balance. CBD, which is everybody's kind of hearing about CBD now, THC, CBN, CBG, I mean, the list goes on, but they all play a role as well as terpenes. And can you share a little about terpenes?
Yeah, terpenes. I mean, so if you think about like limonene, which is the basis of lavender, right, is kind of like that relaxing, calming thing. And so when you look at a lot of the different things that we have in nature, they also have the same compounds in cannabis. And so thinking about things that are going to be uplifting, you're going to have that same compound in the cannabis too. So it's thinking about that kind of how it plays out in the cannabis. Like we can play with different terpenes and play with anti-inflammatories or my head's
mood. Like you said, I mean, limonene. I always say everyone's very familiar with terpenes and it's like the term stop and smell the roses, you know. Roses to me remind me of my grandmother. So it doesn't matter if you and I are walking down the street in Florida or, you know, I'm in the middle of a rose garden, I will always stop and smell roses. And it just brings me back to peace and happiness of my grandmother. And so, you know, the same thing, different dispensaries in different states have different laws. California, I'm able to open the jar and smell. Are you able to do that? So are you no touching in?
No touching. Actually, you're not even allowed to touch the packaging.
Oh, really?
I'll take that.
And then you,
In my location, and it's not, I work in a pretty large location. And so we do a lot of online ordering. And so most of the time before people get to me, they have already placed their order online. We do have, like iPad or little kiosks. It's kind of like a
touchpad. Yeah.
You can order and people are there to talk to you and walk you through. So if you got there and you didn't know what you wanted to order, you like are searching online and not quite sure what you want to order, you can always come in and order. You could place an order and then come in line and come into this location and you could place another order and add some stuff on, you know.
Good.
And if you ordered too much, don't worry. I don't think we're going to hold you onto your ankles and like make you take it home. It's okay. We can put stuff back. That's okay. Right. But yeah, so people typically have ordered before they've gotten to our location.
And pick up almost like ordering food and coming in to pick it up there. And so there's a great thing. Question that I was going to say, when just by you sharing that as well, do you offer a delivery service? And can you share with our audience, because not everyone's in New Jersey, what are some tips to what to look for when they're looking for a dispensary? Because there's a lot, pretty much in different states and different cities, they may be on every other corner where others are scattered around. And can you share some of your insight that might help some of our audience of what to look for?
Yeah. If I were looking and going out of my area, I would use Leafly, which is like a website that you can use. It's also a great place to look at cannabis and figure out what are the compounds are, right? So you can look and be like, oh, well, this is what other people are saying about, you know, Sugar Kush or, you know, Orange Crush or something else, or, you know, Durban Poison. What does that do? So that's a great place to not only look and find out some more information, but you can also search for dispensaries there. I think when I would look at the products in the dispensary and just kind of get a feel for whether or not there's stuff there that interests me, or if it looks like it's a good location to, yeah, I don't know. I think I would look at the products.
Say through that. And then what one thing that I've done over the years is, does the location have a parking lot? You know, and some, and there's one here in the Bay Area, which, for a first time, I would always recommend going there because one, parking lot, they have security guards in the parking lot. And if needed, they are able to walk you back out to your car. There's some great ones in San Francisco, which top quality, clean location, first off, but where they're located, it's not as safe. And so people see you walking in there knowing that you have stuff in your
location
with everything in there. And so those are the things that I didn't, you know, but I do appreciate. And going to Leafly, you can talk about, you can type in there a certain, you mentioned Durban poison and something. Can you talk about what those are? I'll let you share with the audience what those names mean.
A Durban poison is more of a sativa. And so
what are they? They're strains. So
they're strains of cannabis. And so Durban poison is a sativa, and Sugar Kush is a hybrid. And so there are just strains that I know that we carry at our dispensary and, you know, kind of have varied effects in them. This Durban poison is going to be kind of really uppity and is going to be great if you're like in the middle of a artsy project and you really want to have creativity, where the Sugar Kush is not quite as uppy. It's kind of a little bit more relaxed, but still kind of happy.
You a dispensary worker, what are your thoughts of all the names that they've chosen for these strains?
I just had a conversation about that the other day. How are we ever going to get serious about cannabis if they're all like, you know, firecrotch.
Firecrotch, cat piss. We had a patient talking that shared her story on at our conference, and she said we spoke about the same thing, and she said it's hard to go in there or get serious with my doctor when I'm going in there saying I'll take the strain name, the shit that killed Elvis. And I mean, everyone laughed, but it's.
I want a banana headbanger, please. Like,
yes. Or God, I mean, the list can go on. We did an article on that years ago, and it's like, how do you share this with your? How does your doctor say, okay, Joelle, I want you to go down there and get green crack?
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. And so, does that come up? Do patients say? You know, because I've gone in there like Hawaiian punch sounds good to me. I'll take it. You know, what does it do? I don't know, but I'll try it. You know, so strain names are different. Like if, you know, we're California, near New Jersey, and Maui Waui's coming from Hawaii, we can have the same seed. Blue Dream, I'll use for example. Is that Blue Dream very popular still? So yeah. Blue Dream, and they did a study on this where it was down in Florida, actually, where they had the mother plant and they broke off clones, where they broke off pieces and grew them and sent them around. They all came back different when they came to testing, and how I grow is different. How you grow, the is it indoor? Is it outdoor? What is your technique versus my technique? Same seed, same clone, but they all came out different. And so do you recommend patients going in there and asking their medicine by name, or are you more into ratios and cannabinoid content?
That's the fun thing about that third party testing is that it also gives us that all that information. And so kind of like I was alluding to earlier with one of the downfalls to bud tending is people just wanting things with a high THC. It's really, and that's what's fun is that they really are testing, at least in New Jersey, they're testing each batch. So like you could have one batch that's, you know, at 26%, the next batch is at like 22%. And that's just the variation of the plant. And that's what you're saying too, is that, you know, they're plants. And so they vary. You know, and so there is going to be some kind of variation in that plant. So really kind of looking at the chemical compounds of it and looking and getting an idea, they're going to give you a general feel by the name of what the plant is, right? But kind of taking and looking at the chemical compounds also help you get a better feel for what the effects of the plant are going to be.
Exactly. And so again, journaling, less is more, not buying everything on the shelf and seeing what works best for you. Before we leave, can you share what makes you a successful bud tender?
Listening and being present for people, right? Like hearing what they say and hearing what they say in between.
Yeah.
And maybe standing for a second and actually like not running off and kind of really hearing people.
Boy, you nailed it. And that's one thing I would share with, ask questions. Do not be afraid to ask questions. I share this with the patients, with their doctors, ask questions. This is your health, your life. Going into dispensary, ask questions. And
if you don't get the right answer the first time, ask it another way. Because your bud tender might not understand what you're asking.
Yeah. Well, I think that was what you said, listening, that's huge. And so I applaud you for that. And so thank you. I appreciate you coming on and love to have you back on. Maybe we can do another program, Ask the Bud Tender, and see what questions come off of our podcast here. We can build from there. But is there any final words you can leave the United Patients Group audience?
Well, one, you've got so many great resources just on this website and the content that John has provided in the regards of THC and all that other information, just in the little drop downs. And then also feel empowered. This is your health. So the more we can empower ourselves to understand the medicine that we're taking, right, and how to use this as a medicine, then the better off we can be in helping move this forward.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on. Everybody, John Milanka with the United Patient Group. Be informed and be well, and we'll see you soon. Have a blessed day, everyone. Thank you.